Bienvenidos a estas lecciones bíblicas sobre el Antiguo Testamento. En estas lecciones cubriremos la magnífica creación de Dios de todas las cosas, incluyendo la creación del hombre, la corona de la creación de Dios, seguida por la caída del hombre en el paraíso y las consecuencias que eso trajo al mundo. En las siguientes lecciones enseñaremos cómo Dios visitó al hombre con la revelación de su pacto de gracia. Cuando viajemos juntos a través de todo el Antiguo Testamento, veremos a Dios visitando a su nación de Israel con revelaciones de este pacto de gracia, apuntando constantemente al Mesías venidero, al Señor Jesucristo. Esperamos que estas lecciones sean de bendición. Gracias.
Welcome to our next lesson in our Old Testament Bible history series. This is lesson 62, the seven sons of Saul killed. Follow along in 2 Samuel chapters 21 through 24. In this lesson, we will review some events from David's life that teach us a little more about David and about his God. There is a beautiful Psalm of David recorded in chapter 22. It's a nice way to end our study of the books of Samuel, because that is how we started it, with the Song of Hannah. First, a question for you. What's the hardest choice you have ever had to make? Have you ever had to make a choice where it seemed like none of the options were good choices? In this story, you will learn about a choice David had to make that was going to, without a doubt, lead to the death of many of his people. We have arrived at the closing years of David's life. These events are recorded in 2 Samuel 21 through 24. Some of these events actually look back years earlier and are recorded here. For example, at the beginning of chapter 21, we learn of a famine that had come upon Israel. God used this famine to make David pray to God about the hard times. And the Lord showed David the answer. The famine was there because many years ago, Saul had betrayed the promise to the Gibeonites and had killed many of them. You will remember that Gibeon was the next city Joshua faced after Jericho. They had managed to secure a promise from the Israelites that they would not be destroyed. When asked, the Gibeonites say that they would like to punish some of Saul's family with death for the sins of Saul. Seven men from Saul's family are handed over and publicly hanged. Some probably thought David had a deep hatred for Saul's family, but it's good to be reminded here that David did not command this revenge on Saul's family. Rather, it was requested by the Gibeonites and permitted by God. David was not a perfect man, but if you think about how David treated Mephibosheth, then you can see an example of how David kept respect for the family of Saul. If you keep reading in the rest of chapter 22, you'll see a few snapshots of different wars with the Philistines. Verse 17 gives an interesting description of Jesus as the light or lamp of Israel. This lamp was to not go out or be turned off, to be quenched. The king was very important to the welfare of Israel. Yes, David was the Lord's chosen king. And this sets the stage for the next chapter, which is a song of praise of David for God's protection of him and deliverance from all of his enemies. Hopefully you have noticed in past lessons that each of these lessons highlight who God is and what God does. Try to keep that in mind as we look at this chapter. Look at the first few verses and notice all the names that David gives to God. He says, God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. These names of God or descriptions of God are the basis for what God does. God delivers David because God is a deliverer, not because
David
is deserving of it.
God saves David because he is a savior, not because David deserves it.
God's acts are based in his own name. So, in this lesson, we will consider God's name and God's actions in light of this song. In verses 5 through 20, you can read about the wonderful acts of the Lord. God's powerful ability to save is emphasized. God delivered David from his enemies, even death, because David was an object of God's grace and mercy. God's deliverance is described as, he took me, he drew me out, he brought me forth. A second part of this song of thanksgiving from David is the theme of God's faithfulness. While David sings about God's blessing following his own righteousness, the focus is squarely on God's faithfulness to God's own covenant. As for God, his way is perfect. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect, is David's song. That is the basis for God's deliverance of David and his protection of David. God's own covenant with David is the basis. The last words of this psalm point to God's promise to keep this covenant with David's descendants also. Another short poem introduces a list of David's mighty men. David is aware that he was a servant of the Most High God. He knew God helped him by divine means, but also by human means. Read through that list. Which of the men in this list are most interesting to you? The next chapter gives us another glimpse at David's life, but this time David is proud. He's thinking about these enemies, about his victories, about the size of the nation of Israel. He wondered about the size of his palace, the number of servants, the number of people in his great kingdom. And David realizes that he has no idea. He has actually never counted the people or conducted a census. Joab is commanded to do exactly that, count the people. But he warns King David against this. He saw the pride in David. He knew it would not go well. He knew that a king of God's people should seek God's will, not his own. In fact, Joab pleaded with David. He said, I hope you live to see the day when Israel is 100 times as strong as it is now. But I don't know why you want to go through with this census. David insists and his wish is granted. 9 months later, he learns that his army has a possible strength of 1.3 million men. But David is troubled. He is convicted of his sin of pride in his own wisdom and courage, that he forgot about God's grace and favor. He says, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. O Lord, forgive me of my sin and my foolish actions, but too late, there will be a punishment for this sin, even though God was willing to forgive. Through God's prophet, David was offered a choice in choosing his and his nation's punishment. 7 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing before the enemy, or 3 days of pestilence. David was upset, angustiado, but he said, dijo, let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and not no fall into the hands of men. David chose 3 days of pestilence, meaning that he would also be equally exposed to the pestilence as much as the other people. The pestilence broke out, spread quickly, and had a horrible effect. Soon there were 70,000 people dead. The angel of the Lord, sent on this mission by God, did his work at God's command. Coming near to Jerusalem, the angel stopped at a threshing floor owned by Arunah, And there, allí, on that flat, threshing floor, an altar had been built,
y desde ese and altar, smoke el humo was subía al cielo.
Rising up to heaven from that altar.
El Rey King David oraba cerca de allí, interceding en favor del
on
pueblo.
Behalf of the people.
La oración de David fue escuchada y el pueblo fue salvado. ¿Cómo llegó David a este lugar? Pues bien, poco antes de esto, un profeta de Dios había acercado a David y le había dicho: sube y levanta un altar a Jehová en la era de Arauna, el Jebuseo. Cuando David se acerca a la propiedad de Arauna con sus hombres, Arauna preguntó: ¿por qué viene mi señor el rey a mi tierra?
He freely offered his propriedades and cualquier cosa que el rey necesitara
después de escuchar la explicación de que era un mandato de Dios.
David insisted on purchasing the property, desiring that it should cost him something in order to sacrifice to the Lord.
A sacrifice that does not cost you something
is not really a sacrifice.
We can learn that David's heart was in the right place at this time.
On this same hill, long before the events of this story, another man had offered a sacrifice. That was Abraham on Mount Moriah, offering the sacrifice the Lord himself had provided. Many years later, a beautiful temple would be built in this area, and in time, God's own Son would be crucified on Golgotha. This was David's greatest comfort in these last years. He believed God's promise that his own Savior and Lord would be born from his family.
Earlier in this lesson, when thinking about David's song of thanksgiving and praise, we learned of David's description of who God was for him. It's good to conclude to ask ourselves some good questions.
David sang, "Dios es mi roca."
Él es tu roca también. Dios se ha convertido en el fundamento de tu vida. David cantó, Dios es mi castillo. Es Dios tu castillo. Él es tu torre fuerte. Es Dios el único en quien encuentras refugio. David cantó, Dios es mi escudo. Es Dios tu escudo también. Es tu protector. Le pides al Señor que te proteja del pecado. David cantó, Dios es mi salvador. Se ha convertido en tu salvador también. Búscalo, ora que el Señor te salve del pecado para que te dé una verdadera fe salvadora en Él y que Él sea tu salvador. Eso nos lleva al final de esta lección. Y al final de los libros de Samuel. Más adelante veremos de nuevo algunos sucesos de David, pero esta vez desde los libros de Crónicas.